Make May your month for big cash winnings at your favorite Washington Gold Casino. Just stop by the Crazy Moose Casino in Mound Lake Terrace and see how their guests are winning thousands in cash prizes. So why not make today your day to strike it rich? Washington Gold Casinos. So close, it feels like home.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Beard has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk. Happy to be with you guys today. It's a Friday. Everything is well with the world. It's a great, great morning. Hope you're having yourself a good day. So here's the deal. Schedule came out yesterday, and Earl Thomas is apparently going to show up for training camp and not hold out. Those are sort of twin stories guiding our path today. Since we've started, I think, every show for the last 100 years on Earl, perhaps we'll do that at 7:30 this morning. And we'll start off with the schedule, which came out yesterday. And for a lot of people, kind of like Christmas.
Yeah.
When I think of people opening the schedule or like reading the schedule at 5 o'clock yesterday and diving in immediately going to Seahawks.com or 710sports.com, wherever you go first to get your schedule, I found myself thinking about this trend for kids these days, for little kids, where they love more than anything to go to YouTube and watch people opening presents.
Yeah.
You know that whole thing?
Or really weird grown adults that enjoy watching Darren Revelle open baseball cards.
Yeah, that's weird, too.
It's a strange. He gets millions of people to watch.
It's like one of the biggest money makers on YouTube is like kids opening presents.
It's really bizarre.
Yeah. Why?
I mean, like,
what are we doing?
It constantly blows my mind. Thankfully, my kids have not discovered that yet. But I think they're the only ones of everyone they know because kids love watching other people open presents and then play with toys. I mean, the whole thing is bizarre.
Huh.
But that's what kids do. And to me, that's sort of what it's like when watching people like wait for the schedule.
I think that's well said. And there's a lot of buildup to it, right? And oh my gosh, when's it? We got the news. It's going to be Thursday at 5. And I'll be honest with you, yesterday at 5, I was like on my phone. You know, I wanted to make sure I dropped Macy off at soccer. Titus is mad. He's crying now. He's like, what's your phone say? I said, 20 minutes, bro. You'll be early to practice. No, it does not. Let me see your phone because I Google map everything like, boy, howdy. And it said like 5:20. I said, bro, I got a minute. I'll make up a minute between this park and your baseball field. And then, you know, we're at the light, thankfully. And boom, here it comes. There's the schedule. There it is.
So what do you think?
Three things I think immediately jump out. I love the primetime. I think that resonates and still speaks.
Five games in primetime. So for everybody who set that over under a 2, 2.5,
yeah.
They were at 5.
Yeah.
So the league very clearly still thinks Seattle is one of the most interesting teams.
Because they want you. And I'm not playing to the crowd here, but it's true. They want you. They want the 68,000 in that building. They want what every announcing team says when they come in there. What Aikman says, what Collinsworth, what they've all said on our air, Mike, and that is it's just different. It's just different in that building. So they want that, and they want to see if it's going to continue to be maybe through a little bit of adversity this season where they're not the top dog pick going in. So I love that. Number two, initially you look at road game. Wow. Like they're opening 5-7 on the road. And initially your first blush reaction is that's painful. For my side with a team that's turning, that's got a lot of new pieces, I like they get to come together on the road. I like that. I'd actually prefer for this team to have it that way.
And then have four of their last five games be at home.
And not have the expectation and the pressure that at times comes with playing at home. You know, that you feel just some of the weight of all of that expectation of, oh my gosh, I got to come out here. Everything's got to be. Nope. You know, 3 or 4 out on the road, just like Pete loves to play young people. Let's go. Let's go and let's bring this thing together that way. And then the last thing was actually at the donut shop this morning. I ran into a diehard Seahawks fan. I said, what do you think? He goes, it's going to be a cold December. Three at home in December. It's going to be a cold month in December. So I think those were a couple of my biggest right away. You?
First of all, 4 at home in December.
Yeah, it's going to be cold.
Four December home games.
Yes.
At home at night against Sunday Night Football against Richard Sherman and the Niners, December 2nd. The next week at home against Minnesota on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Then you go to San Francisco, come back for Kansas City at home on Sunday Night Football right before Christmas, December 23rd, and finish it off at home against Arizona on December 30th.
Yes.
So that is the way you wrap up December with 4 out of 5 games being at home.
So you remember, you brought up gifts. Let me just say this real quickly. This is, I don't think there's anything that could come out yesterday that wouldn't be a great gift. So I don't know if you ever had any of these experiences growing up, but we had one really tough Christmas. And looking back, I don't know what it was. Something must have happened somewhat financially, but it was a really tough Christmas because, you know, my mom is such an amazing gift giver. My dad is too. So we always had, we didn't have a lot. You know, my dad taught, mom started teaching when Luke got to school. So, I mean, it wasn't like we were loaded with gifts, but they always like, wow, we got a Seahawk bike 1 year. And then 1 year we just like, whoa. Well, I think as kids and we were all old enough, like,
what happened?
What's going on here? And we weren't like complaining. We like went to our room, probably head down a little bit. Like, yeah, why the mustard? Like, why the salami?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, whatever it was. It was just not like this cheetah gear, right?
Okay.
We used to get a Nike shirt, but this is like, oh, cheetah, like, you know, and the NFL doesn't have that. There's no down year. Like any of these schedules for any of these teams, no matter what you were going to have on it, you were going to have some juice. And I think in every single market, and certainly with
this team, there's a bunch on this one, man. There's a bunch of games that have some juice. I'm seeing texters here saying this is the hardest schedule they can remember. I don't know. I kind of looked at it the other way. I didn't think the schedule was that hard. I thought they did the Seahawks a lot of favors. You don't see any real franchise quarterbacks for the first 6-7 games of the year. You get the bye week after you go to London, which I think was probably expected, but still nice to see. You play Green Bay at home. You have to play Green Bay, so you get to play them at home. You get to play Kansas City at home. You get to play Minnesota at home.
Yep.
There's a bunch of things I really like about this.
It's all about the road. It's starting out on the road. It's starting back-to-back weeks on the road.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yep.
But, I mean, one of them is against Chicago. Like, whatever.
And Denver's good, but, you know, they're not.
They're good. They're not that good.
No, they're not
quarterback.
Elite.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, okay. Like, we'll see how well Case Keenum works in his first game as a Denver Bronco.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I didn't find it to be that hard. I think there's some real marquee games on here, which are great. I mean, week 3 at home against Dallas, that's always fun. You get, obviously, your couple against the Rams pretty early in the year, actually, both in the first half of the year. How about home on, what is it, Thursday Night Football against Green Bay? You've gone to their building like 9 times in a row, it seems now. Played there in the freezing cold every time. And this time, Aaron Rodgers will come here in mid-November and play on Thursday Night Football. I think that's great. And then you go to Carolina the next week. And then after that, Sunday Night Football, when Richard Sherman comes to Seattle, it's not going to be until December.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised they waited and put both Niners games 2 out of 3 weeks, all in December. Does that seem odd?
Yeah, that's the one thing I don't like.
That's a little weird.
Yes.
I'd like to see them once early, once late.
I would agree.
Like you do with Arizona.
Yes, totally agree with that.
2 out of 3 weeks. That seems a little odd.
And I'd rather have the Seahawks schedule than the Rams schedule.
Okay.
That is, I don't know if you looked around then at anybody else.
I did not.
All around the league.
No,
but,
I sure
did. I went right to the Rams because I think they're going to be the pick to win this division. They beat the tar out of you in December. I think they were the final impetus to force so much change on this roster and on this coaching staff and anything else. And I'd rather have the Seahawks schedule than what they're going to face.
Good.
They open at the Raiders, Cardinals, Chargers. They're going to go, okay, they're going to be probably 3-1, maybe even 4-0. But then they go Vikings at Seahawks, at Broncos, at 49ers, Packers, at Saints, Seahawks, Chiefs. I mean, they don't even get a breath. And 2 games at home over an 8-week stretch. So,
well, yeah. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm still not looking at what the Seahawks will be like this year, but I start going through the schedule and pulling all right, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss thing. And I basically had them in the playoffs depending on what happens in the 2 games against San Francisco.
What, 13?
Well, that was easy.
It was so easy. It's just like Denver win, Chicago win, Dallas.
Wow.
Between Dallas and Arizona, you split, you're 3-1. All right, you lose to the Rams 3-2, but you beat Oakland, you're 4-2. You beat Detroit. Come on, Matt Stafford, you're 5-2. You always have trouble with the Chargers, but you're playing them at home. 6-2, lose to the Rams 6-3. Let's say you beat Green Bay or split with Green Bay and Carolina. Now you're 7-4. And then I don't know what you do against San Francisco. You lose to Minnesota. Let's say you're 7-5 with the San Francisco game.
Yep.
Beat Kansas City, you're 8-5. Beat Arizona again, you're 9-5. And so what happens with those 2 San Francisco games? That's a difference between 9-7 and 11-5.
Wow. So we only got 2 games to worry about.
Yeah, basically just worry about those 2 games and let's see what happens.
But I think I listened to everything you just said.
Yeah.
I think, did you just
say? Did it all make sense?
To a degree, but I think you just said they lose both games to the Rams.
Yeah, I did.
So you could go.
But I'm giving myself a little leeway. Like, yeah maybe you lose, or you win one of those games over the Rams, but maybe you beat a team you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you beat both Green Bay and Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know. So it all kind of evens out. You go 11-5 or 9-7, depending on how you do against the Niners.
Yeah, I look at that.
Let's say you split, you're 10-16.
Yeah, I think I look at that schedule right now as we sit, and it's very incomplete. You know, and I think John Schneider made that clear last night at his event. This thing is not finished. It's not done. This draft, now just 7 days away, is enormous. Can add some difference makers, may add a trade here or there. But as that sits right now, yeah, I'm about 9-7.
Salk, Stafford's pretty good. Why don't you like him? He's kind of a loser. He never wins playoff games. I just don't trust Matt Stafford. I'll never really believe he's that good. I know the numbers are always good, but I'll just never believe
that. I guess I would sum up this, the schedule this way, too. There's a lot of good. There always is a lot of good. There's even great that you're going to have to face on the schedule. But you know what you don't have in the first month and a half? Elite, elite, elite. Yeah. You don't have, and you knew you weren't going to have Ben and Brady, so you knew you weren't going to see some of those guys. But you don't see, you're not at New Orleans. You're not at New England. You're not at Pittsburgh. You're not, you know, at some of those places with the elite of the elite. There's always going to be good. There's going to be great to deal with. And you've got to rise to that occasion.
So is Marshawn Lynch going to be playing in that game? What's the deal? What's going on with Marshawn? Is he playing next year or not playing?
Don't know if he's going to get through customs.
Okay. 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know. The voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
How much money would you put on Marshawn not bringing his passport with him to get to London? All of it? Some of it? Earl Thomas does not plan to hold out into training camp. That's according to John Schneider, who spoke yesterday at his big primetime charity event to Danny Dave and Moore, says that he's spoken to Earl's representatives in the last couple of weeks here, and they don't plan to hold out. Well, good. That's a whole lot more leverage for John Schneider, and I think really gives him the options to pursue any of the three avenues with Earl Thomas. If you want to trade him, great. You've got a little bit more leverage to do so now because teams hopefully don't think that you are under a mandate to do it. If you want to sign him to a long-term deal, cool. I mean, that doesn't really change. And if you want to let him just play out the last year of his deal and maybe franchise him the year after that, Well, it makes it a whole lot easier to do that as well, because the one big nuclear option that Earl has sounds like he's not willing to press the button.
Yeah, here's I think
great
the,
news.
Yeah, the one thing I think I've learned in the NFL, and especially watching the Seahawks work and John Schneider and this crew, like, they very much segment their work, and they don't mess around and get outside of that. You know, much like these teams during the season focus on that opponent in that game and that game alone, that is it. And you look behind or you look ahead, you run into trouble. And I've really, I think, discovered that more than anything else. It's what I needed to know and learn. How do they work this process? Well, we have this period of time and we do this. We have contracts at this time. We have our draft evaluation. This we have, and they do. And it's not a surprise that he talked to Earl's agents 2 months ago. But look what's happened over the last 2 months. Look at how much coaching change and roster change. Nah. Is that going to change the opinion of the representation and agent? What's going to happen on draft day? There is still so much to be determined when it comes to Earl and the Seahawks.
But if Earl now holds out, he's going back on his word, and that's part of the genius from John Schneider.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the schedule is out for the 2018 Seahawks season. It was released yesterday. 5 primetime games, and here's the good news. 4 of them are at home, so obviously the league is still pretty impressed with what the Seahawks can bring from a national ratings perspective. They'll also get a bye week immediately following that trip to London. If you're looking to circle some games on the schedule, yeah, maybe London's on there. October 14th, that's a Sunday game. I think Green Bay at home on Thursday Night Football, November 15th is on the list. And then, of course, Richard Sherman and the Niners coming in to Seattle. Sunday Night Football, December 2nd, that is probably the biggest one to circle.
Yeah, you know, the NFL is, it's got a lot of great teams. It's got a few elite teams. You can turn your head and look at this schedule and say, oh my gosh, this is so tough. And I certainly got those texts. You can turn your head the other way, I think, as you and I just did for the first 10 minutes of this show, and say, yeah, I think it's pretty favorable. The bye is kind of where you want it, and you get these primetime games at home and everything else. So no matter which way you want to turn and you want to look at it, I think more than anything else, I don't see the NFC South. I don't see Matt Ryan, right? I don't see Drew Brees. I don't see some of the elite that are going to take apart at times a young defense and a young secondary. I also do love the fact they start on the road. They bond, they get together, they go through some adversity, and they get a chance to do what they've done every year but last year, and that is finish strong.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Yeah, Mariners dropped their third straight, lose to the Astros yesterday, lose that series 3-1, manages 5 total runs in the 4 games as the Astros just throw up ace pitcher after ace pitcher. They have 5 of them. They have 5 guys to the point where you could legitimately wonder if even James Paxton would crack their rotation. It's one of the best teams I can ever remember seeing. Going back to those late 90s Yankees, I think this is the best team that's been in baseball since then. They have the best rotation maybe in the game. They have one of the best lineups in the game. They play great defense. They have a really good bullpen. This Astros team about as good as I can ever remember. I won't be surprised if they win 110, 115.
And they love playing it safe, Cole. I mean, they were built for Safeco Field. They're built for really any field, but they've won 9 of the last 10 now in that building. The disappointing thing is Marco was sharp yesterday. I mean, Marco was excellent. Put a couple rough starts behind him. He was sharp, and Scott Service is going to have no margin. You know, when you're facing the Astros this season, and maybe even the Angels, he's going to have very little margin. Every button that he's going to push has to be the right call. He pulls Marco in the fifth. Altuvilla comes in, gives up the game. And once you're down 4+ runs to that team with that staff, good luck.
Lots of good text coming in here, 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Salk, pump the brakes. You're giving this roster too much credit. They're not going to split Dallas and Arizona. They're not going to split Green Bay and Carolina. This roster's glass half empty until proven otherwise. Very possible. We'll see. As I said, I'm still sort of looking at it from last year's perspective and not quite willing to consider the new world yet. Wow, Brock killed that Marshawn Customs joke. Good timing. Great delivery. Is his contract up soon? Is this part of ongoing negotiations? No,
it's working 3 hours on the FM side yesterday.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's what helps?
Whole new world.
Maybe you should do it every day. 710, let's talk to the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. And the price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus. A wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Salk.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys.
If yesterday is a big day for NFL fans, it's got to be the biggest day of your year. Schedule coming out. Everything you do is based on the schedule. How excited were you yesterday?
Very.
Candy store.
Yeah, it's great. Because, again, what you get a chance to do is now start to really get into the season, figure out what the strengths, weaknesses of teams are. I mean, you already know going in who you're playing, but then how you play them and where you play them is so important because that's where the adjustments are and the time of games, all those different things you take into account. That's why, you know, this schedule this year is a little bit harder than last year.
Okay, how so? Let's start right there. We knew who all the teams were going to be, so now let's look at how they're lined up and how they're put together. So what degree of difficulty with knowing what the opponents were going to be was what?
5 of the first 7 on the road, particularly the first two. You know, I know I made this comment last year and had nothing to do with Seattle. I mean, don't you think with all the computer stuff that's being done by the league, they can actually come to a conclusion that now you could have a home and away game to start the season, not necessarily two road games? Because I go back a couple, I think it was 2 years ago, there was like 4 teams that opened up the season with 2 road games, and 3 of those teams, I think, got off to 0-2.
Including the Seahawks, correct? Yeah. Went to Green Bay, I believe, then down to the Rams.
Yeah, so it's like I just think that's unfair because, you know, what you want to try to do is have that balance. And now, again, you know, maybe they get a break in the sense that they have Denver breaking in Case Keenum. You know, they have Mitch Trubisky on a Monday night game as a young quarterback still trying to figure out what receivers he's having. So maybe they get a break there. But starting off with 2 road games gives you the potential to start off in a hole at 0-2.
It also gives you the opportunity to close with 4 out of 5 at home
in
December.
That's true, but then, you know,
the schedule giveth and it taketh away, John.
It is, but of course, when you're making as many changes as this team is making, I mean, is it going to come together in the first couple of weeks? I mean, usually it's going to come together a little bit longer. So again, it's like it's not as grossly unfair as that 3-game road trip, which this team doesn't have. That's encouraging, but still, it's a little bit of a deficit right now. The one thing I think is kind of interesting. Okay, so the league comes back and they start you on the road the first 2 games, yet they come back and think the team's going to be viable enough in December that you can have 3 night games.
Yeah, it is interesting. The other thing, you know, Brock was talking yesterday about when they play those franchise quarterbacks, are those right off the bat? And they're not really. Mm-hmm. I mean, Denver, Chicago, Dallas, I mean, maybe Dak's a good player, but I don't think anybody thinks of him yet as quite the elite franchise quarterback. Arizona, the Rams, maybe, Oakland, maybe. I mean, it really takes some time in 4 or 5 weeks anyway before you start seeing the better quarterbacks in the league.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, really when you start to look at it, it's going to be that one stretch from October 7th all the way through, I guess, November 25th, because that's when they have to go to London. Oh, of course, I mean, you have 2 Ram games. We'll see where Jared Goff is in year 3. I mean, you have Derek Carr, who's now going to be playing over in London. You have Philip Rivers, you have Green Bay. And of course you got Stafford right in there. So you really, that's the tough stretch for quarterbacks, but by that time, when you're talking about 5-6 weeks into the season, now at least your legs are under you on defense and you kind of know where you are.
What did we learn from John Schneider last night at his event?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is Earl Thomas. I mean, the fact that I guess now Earl through his agents or Earl through Earl has said he's not going to hold out in the regular season. That probably brings back the trade possibilities. Now, again, it's still there. I mean, the team still has the ability, if they wish to, if they can get the right value, to trade him. But you can hear, I think, now Pete now wanting to make sure that Earl's there. There's more of a, not a certainty, but at least now you know he's not going to miss any regular season games. And so if he misses training camp, that's bad. It's not good for, you know, trying to get ready for the season. But I think that now brings down that percentage, which I had it up to 50. Maybe it takes it down to 30, maybe 25 as far as a trade, maybe even lower than that.
God, I saw it exactly the opposite of that. I mean, to me, this was John Schneider looking to leverage this a little bit and saying, hey, if I'm going to make a deal, I got to let it be out there that Earl Thomas is not going to hold out so that I can get something close to the price I really want. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, you know, whether it's true or not, who knows? But if I'm Earl Thomas's agent, now if I do end up holding out, I look like I'm going back and doubling back on my word. I would think it was just it didn't change that percentage for me at all.
Okay, yeah, that very well could be. Yeah, the one thing that's just so fascinating about it is that you know the news coming out like that, and that now it's like, okay, so if you hold out, if you're Earl Thomas and you're not holding out into the regular season, all you're doing is losing a whole bunch of money in the preseason. Which, of course, is that really worthwhile?
You know, JC,
are you really gaining anything?
Yeah. You brought up the computers earlier. Here's what I have a hard time understanding. Is why San Francisco 2 out of 3 weeks? Like, how are you not able to? And I know they want to play their right division foes late in December, and so that's obvious. You're going to see them in December, but I never like in the NFL having to see a team twice in 3 weeks, in particular with the juice that these two teams are going to have with Richard and everything else. I didn't care for that.
No, I agree, because I know there was a lot of that last year in the NFC South. I mean, because I think Atlanta, and a lot of it comes down to is that, you have to spread, all the division games over 17 weeks, and then you have to make sure that you have one at the end. You know, everybody plays a division game in week 16 and maybe about, 10 in week 16. And so that does make it strange. But I know last year, the NFC South started so late, there was a lot of those games, that division games that were in November and December. And you're right. It's just that you would figure the computer would sort all of that out. I mean, it's not like it was, say, 10, 15 years ago when NFL teams were playing in baseball stadiums, and then you had to go around the baseball dates to be able to get things done. They should be able to smooth that out, and that's just one of the glitches. But yeah, you're right, two late San Francisco games is a little different.
Hey, Jonas, poor little Jimmy Graham, was he disappointed and frustrated here? I saw that he looked a little sad yesterday when he was asked about it.
Well, I mean, if he really catches demeanor at different points of the season, I think that you can see that, he was frustrated with some things. I mean, he was able to get the touchdowns this past year, but he wasn't able to get the yards downfield. Now, how much of that was him, I think it has to be a part of it. I mean, he didn't have too many drops. I mean, if you came close to hitting him, there was more of a chance of a drop than anything else. I mean, that was something that was there in the cards. But, I mean, I think that a lot of, you could sense in the locker room that he was frustrated at some things. He was a little bit more distant last year than he has been in any of the other years here.
Interesting. It felt like he was distant every moment that he was here. Let's do a
little.
He was
always good to me.
Yeah.
Time now for the wild card.
What? Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Oh, boy.
John Clayton is a taxidermist who's taking his first trip to Australia in hopes of adding some new interesting animals to his collection. However, when Clayton follows a tip that he can pick up a kangaroo at a bungalow owned by a crazed local played by Jim Carrey, things start to go awry. When Carrey captures Clayton and plans to stuff him, Clayton must work together with an animatronic armadillo and a parrot voiced by Boy Howdy in order to escape Jim Carrey's clutches and come away with the prized kangaroo. What do you think?
Well, I'm trying to figure out now, did the kangaroo put me in the pouch? I mean, what was that? What am I trapped in?
John,
right,
you've
now
lost it here. No, you're trying to get the kangaroo.
Oh, I'm trying to get the kangaroo.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like, we gotta. Hey, mate, we gotta get this thing done. I mean, we got to get this in there. So it's like we're taking every resource right now to get the kangaroo away. I thought Carrie was going to be generous.
You're taking that taxidermist head and banging it in his wall. That's right. What you're doing.
I have a new wrinkle we could add to this Friday thing, Fan Fiction Friday. What if John tried to come up with the title of the movie that Howdy has just described? Like, Howdy describes the movie, and John, you get a chance to try to give it a title.
Wow. Okay.
Like, what would you call this one?
Kangaroo Court.
This is gonna be like the guys in City Slickers.
Yep.
Woof! Like, John just knows what the movie is going to be called.
How does he know?
John, you're the best. We'll talk to you on Monday.
All right,
there you go. John Clayton every single day at 7:15. All right. Unbelievable.
Woof! God!
Woof what? He just knows. Kangaroo Court. You're going down there to find that
kangaroo. How do you know he's right? How do we know? 1,400 retail outlets across the country. That's how we know.
Whoa! Well, how do we know John Schneider's right about Earl Thomas's future? We'll find out next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Heritage Distilling Company's BSB Lounge at the ballpark.
When you purchase our award-winning spirits, remember to choke up on it for better control. Then send it down like a trip back to the minors.
You can't spell baseball without BSB.
Heritage Distilling Company, proud sponsor of your Seattle Mariners.
Don't forget, Todd Lywicki is going to be in with us coming up in a half hour at 8 o'clock. If you've been watching the hockey playoffs, if you're excited about the future of Seattle hockey, and an arena deal getting all set here with the new thing getting built, Todd Lywicki will be in at 8 o'clock this morning. Schedule's out, Brock. I want to tell people, if they want first dibs on tickets to this season, we're going to give them a chance to win a pair of tickets to any regular season Seahawks home game. Any regular season Seahawks home game, you get to choose. Plus, two VIP tickets to the Seahawks exclusive draft day party, which is next Thursday in Bellevue. Brock, you and I will be there. You can go to 7 and Lydia as well. You can go to 710sports.com/win, enter the code word Hawks, H-A-W-K-S. Do it by 10 o'clock, by the end of our show, to be entered to win. Contest and rules, 710sports.com/win. Got to be 21 years of age or older. And you can go to Seahawks.com/tickets for those scheduled tickets right now.
I know you want to flip the script here.
I do. I want to talk some Earl.
But if you had to, if you won that and you had two tickets to any of the eight home games,
I think I'd take Green Bay right now. I think. Thursday, I mean, night. It's either that or Richard Sherman on a Sunday
night. Make
a
long weekend of it after you turn 40 here in 8 days.
Dude,
yeah.
Stop it.
What?
I don't want to talk
no,
about
it. No, seriously.
Don't I would either be Green Bay on a Thursday night or San Francisco on a Sunday night.
Yes.
Right? I mean, wouldn't those be the top two choices?
I think so.
What else would it be? I mean, you got home versus Dallas, home versus the Rams.
I mean, Minnesota is going to be...
It's not going to be the Chargers.
No.
I don't think it's Minnesota or Kansas City or even Arizona last game of the year.
Yeah, you want to tangle with Green Bay fans or San Francisco
right.
fans.
Right. Like, isn't it, I mean, you either want to see Richard Sherman and what he's doing, or you want to see the whole Green Bay thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it comes down to those two. It's not even close.
Or the Rams. You know, the Rams that beat the tar out of you.
You want to see that?
Yeah.
Sure?
Oh, easy.
You sure you want to do that? Like, I think the Rams might eventually fall apart, but, I mean, that's kind of early in the year.
Or you can be 40 in a week and
dude,
a day.
Why dude, you got to go
seriously,
there? Why you got to keep going there? You know I'm upset about it. You know I'm now as going to be as close to 60 as I am
yeah,
to 20.
Yeah, I mean, you realize a week from Sunday you're closer to 60 than 20.
Stop it. I have no... You need to stop doing that. Seriously, I need you to stop talking about it because it's bugging me out.
All right, let's get to Earl.
All right, so John Schneider is up to something. Either he's telling the truth or he's gaining leverage, but either way, I love exactly what he's doing and what he did yesterday. I really do.
You called him a Machiavellian genius.
He is.
No, that's what you called him.
Well, I mean, I think if John was listening, he would nod his head and agree. I mean, he's probably trying to recover from his big night last night. He and Tracy host their phenomenal big dinner for Ben's Fund last night in Bellevue.
Man, they look great, too. Did you see the picture?
Yeah, I didn't get over there. I've gone over the last few years.
Man.
I didn't make it.
Yes, he has come a long ways. Just
well, Tracy dressed
a couple.
So
yeah,
be,
for
sure.
Oh, no question.
So he was asked about Earl Thomas and whether or not he was planning to hold out, and John made it pretty clear.
I was informed that he would not hold out. Yeah, that was not his intention, according to his representation.
He goes on to say a little bit more.
You know, much like in baseball, they have the winter meetings. You know, basically that's what's happened to the combine when we go down there. I met with his representatives down there. You know, he's under contract, and that's where it is. He decided not to show up. It's a voluntary deal. Obviously, we'd love to have him here, but he decided not to for whatever reason. And but I met with his representatives there, and we had great conversation. So everything seems to be fine. I'm not sure if you guys know something I don't.
Yeah, no, we know all sorts of things that you don't, John. This is typical.
I love that guy. This is the season of manipulation, baby. Never let the facts get in the way of a good story or the opportunity of good leverage. You don't, on either side. I think that's first and foremost how I read it. I was not surprised at all that they have talked to Earl's people just one time at the combine, just a few months ago. You know, this is leverage. I think the team has a bunch of it. I think Earl may try to gain some of it, but the safety market's as dry as Mariners' lineup was against Houston yesterday. And the more Earl talks, I think the more risk or his representation that he takes of losing in the court of public opinion and losing leverage.
Yeah, do you believe John?
Yeah, I believe everything he said right there. that he was informed and according to his agent. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Do you believe Earl is actually not planning to hold out still?
No, I don't believe that part of it.
So you think this because is I think old
that,
news?
I think that changes and goes back and forth. I really do.
But this
look
is
at great. Earl. Earl wanted to retire. Earl doesn't want to retire. Earl wants to play. Earl doesn't want to play. Earl wants to play right. for the Cowboys. Earl doesn't want to play for the Cowboys. Earl's not going to show up. Earl may show up. It's just
when you take somebody who's as scattershot as Earl Thomas,
taking
a snapshot of how he felt 2 months ago probably has no bearing on what he will do coming up here in a few months. But so what? There's no downside to John Schneider saying this. There's three options on the table with Earl, right? Trade him, sign him, or let him play its way out.
Yep.
Those are your three options.
What
with
was
Earl
the
Thomas.
Voting results?
Yesterday, after knowing that Earl Thomas is not planning to hold out, 45% want to sign him to a long-term extension, right. 28% say trade him, 27% say let him play out the deal, about 4,000 votes that have been cast on that. So as opposed to before when we had 60% saying trade him and 40% saying keep him in some way. So obviously that is in flux as well, public opinion.
Tough text.
I just keep looking at John and thinking that of the three options, this helps all three of them. At least doesn't hurt him. If you're trying to trade Earl Thomas and you haven't gotten what you're hoping for yet and you're kind of holding out for a better and better deal, this is great. You say, hey, look, man, this guy's not going to hold out.
We're good. He's
so we're good.
We're good.
So if you want him, you're actually going to have to pony up. You don't have me over a barrel. You don't have leverage over me.
Yep.
Earl Thomas is coming back. I can always play out the string. So give me the first and third that I want, or let's forget about this whole thing. So it definitely helps from a leverage standpoint.
Agreed.
If you want him to play out the deal, or let's say you want to sign him to a long-term extension, this gives you some leverage over him. Like, look, I know you're not planning to hold out. You've already said so. You're going to look like a bad guy now if you do. So come on. If you want to sign an extension, do it closer to my terms than your terms, and hopefully the Seahawks get what they want.
Yep.
And if they do want to let him play out the deal, well, hopefully this means you're not going to sabotage at least this season. And so then Earl comes in, you play it out, you can franchise him if you want to, you can sign him to a long-term deal down the road if that's what you want to do. It gives you a ton more options. So I love this from John Schneider. Machiavellian genius, absolutely, Brock.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah, I would agree. By the way, text came in to me, said, Salk's on the back nine?
Huh?
Deep into the third.
Well, why would you say that?
In the third quarter.
Stop that.
Know what? I'm sorry.
Who is writing this to you? Just, Molly?
No.
I don't want to hear that. That is not nice.
Bro, you think Molly's listening to the show at 7:30?
No. Texter says, hey, Salk, I turned 40 in January. Since then, I've got a partially torn rotator cuff.
Yep.
I broke a bone in my foot, and I've gotten arthritis, so have fun with that.
Yep. Welcome to the 40s.
Come on.
Okay, now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You think Earl wants to be here? In his heart of hearts, because I run into this a bunch more, and I totally get it. Every time a fan, and I'll run into somebody, and they will say this to me, or we'll get into it, engage in this conversation, they bring it up. I rarely ever do, but they do, and it's important to them, and that's Earl running into the Cowboys locker room.
I know me, so I won't allow myself to even, you know, go out there and, you know, just risk it all, you know, just if they're not, you know, having faith in me and a long-term deal. I just got to protect myself at the end of the day, me and my family. That's the first thing. Like I said, I don't feel comfortable just going out there without signing a long-term deal.
Yeah, I don't think that's a guy that truly wants to be here.
I mean,
I don't think that's a guy who really wants to be here either.
I put that in that same silo we did earlier of just the back and the forth and the ping pong emotionally. He's an unbelievably emotional guy. Maybe right there with Richard Sherman and even more so, where that emotion is going to run so hot. But for fans, Mike, there are a lot of them that don't forget that. That don't forget after a Seahawk win, he runs away from you and runs to the arms of somebody else, you know, and that's the one that if I'm on the Seahawks side, to be honest, and they know Earl better than everybody else for a decade.
How can you ever get the answer to this question?
Because they know it every single day.
But you can't get the answer to this question from a guy that changes his mind every 30 minutes. That's kind of my point. You're proving the other side of the point here. How are you ever going to know whether Earl truly wants to be here when one minute he does and the next minute he doesn't?
Yeah.
And maybe that's ultimately your answer, that's where his emotions are starting to swing. Regardless, I think they're going to trade him still. I don't agree with John Clayton that this lowers the percentage. I don't think it changes it at all. If anything, maybe it raises it because it gives John a chance to get what he really wants. I think Earl's going to be traded, and I don't think this changes it, and it doesn't change what I want to have happen. I just think it leaves open the possibility that if you don't trade him, hopefully things, you know, don't go to hell in the meantime.
Genius, huh?
John?
Yeah.
I mean, not like the kind of intuitive genius I am. Kyle got to see it yesterday as I diagnosed yet another technological problem and
facilities
solved it.
Facilities manager. It's
dude,
incredible.
I fixed this computer screen the other day.
Did you really?
Yeah, I mean, I plugged it in, but right. It wasn't working, and then yep. I got it working.
Nice.
Yesterday, we had a major malfunction with somebody who was borrowing an iPhone charger cord.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't get it to work. He's like, this thing doesn't work, and you know, I figured
I couldn't get it to work. I tried it on my phone, said maybe it's your phone. I don't know.
I realized that the plug was unplugged and was able to get that thing back
in.
Yeah,
he just
there
put it
well.
Right in the plug.
I'm just saying that's
like the unplugged master.
Well, I just
unplugged.
I'm an intuitive genius, Howdy. It depends on, like, you. We all have different phrases for things. I say intuitive genius. You
I'll
say
go unplugged master.
I mean, hey, that's fine. As long as the last word is master. Coming up next, Coors Light's Blue 42. If the Seahawks are going to win those two big games in the schedule that I think determine the playoffs, they got to find out what kind of quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo is, Brock. I need you to answer that for me next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Hey, Brock Hewitt here for Toyota Piala. You know, when you're shopping for a new vehicle, you want the best value and to be treated fairly. You want confidence that the dealership will be there long after the sale. Well, Toyota Piala is Washington's most awarded Toyota dealer for customer satisfaction, and they've been doing it for almost 50 years. Toyota Piala has more than 700 new Toyotas for you to choose from and one of the largest selections of Toyota trucks in the Northwest. Plus, they all come with 2 years of complimentary maintenance. So go see Carrie and her team at Toyota Piala, putting you first since 1970.
Hey, this is Bob Stelton from the Bob Gross and Tom Show. I want to thank you for listening to the Brock and Salk Show. And you know what would be fantastic is if you checked out the Bob Gross and Tom Show every day from noon to 3. You can stream us live at 710sports.com or on the 710 Sports app or listen on demand.
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Boo 42! Boo 42!
All right, time for three good football questions with Brock. It's Coors Light's Blue 42. Hope you guys are texting in to win those tickets, man. It's a pretty good deal today. It's no joke. Tickets to any Seahawks home game, regular season home game of your choice. You just got to text the word Hawks to 710-710. Is that right? No, don't do that. Hold on, that's wrong. Sorry, don't do that. I screwed it up.
Oh, don't.
Kyle, where are you to tell me I was screwing it up? Don't text it.
.com/win, right?
All right, go to I'm sorry. Dump that. 710sports.com/win. 710sports.com/win. Don't text. Don't do it. I'm sorry to everybody who's already done it. Don't do it. 710sports.com/win. The texts are pouring in. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Enter the code word Hawks at 710sports.com/win. Okay? I'm sorry. I screwed it up. I'll try not to screw up these questions for you, Brock. Let's go with this one. Question number one. Jimmy Graham looked very sad yesterday. He was asked about whether or not he was disappointed or frustrated at times in the Seattle offense last year, and he gave this little annoying, sad smirk.
Mm-hmm.
What possible reason? Like, what's up with Jimmy Graham?
Good question, Mike. We never knew Jimmy Graham. You said that to the professor, and the professor said, "Well, I know he was nice to you, and he gave you two or three interviews. That's great, but he really just never endeared himself, I think, to this fan base, certainly to the local media. He just does his own thing, and I think Green Bay is going to be an ideal fit for him. You know, there's not a massive amount of media pressure there. He's not going to be asked to do anything that he's not comfortable with, and I think the Seahawks took pretty good care of him and did the best they could to put him in a position for success. I also, that smile to me was also one that says, yeah, I don't like to block, but they still tried to make me a blocker, you know, and I don't think that's going to happen in Green Bay, you know.
It just rubs me the wrong way so much.
I know it does.
They wanted me to block. Yeah. I don't like to block.
Yeah, we also
wanted you to not drop six or seven passes. I was ready to go to war with New Orleans to prove that I'm a tight end and not a wide receiver because they wanted to say, like, dude.
Yeah.
Then just be a wide receiver. Yeah. Just say you're a wide receiver.
Yep.
Stop listing yourself as a tight end. I now hate Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
Just so you know.
Thanks.
Question number two.
Pendulum swing.
Yeah. Speaking of Jimmy G's, how about Jimmy Garoppolo? I was saying earlier that if the Seahawks want to make the playoffs, I got to know what they do in those two games against San Francisco. In order to know that, I got to know whether Jimmy Garoppolo is a franchise quarterback. Brock, what kind of year is he going to have?
He's going to have an excellent year, Mike. I think he's a very good player. But I will tell you this. We are going to know by the time we see him in December. Why? Because the first half of San Francisco's season is brutal. Yes, the Seahawks play on the road an awful lot, and there's going to be some challenges going on the road the first couple weeks, but it's Denver and Chicago. Look at the San Francisco 49ers' first seven games. They opened the year at Minnesota. At Minnesota against that defense and everything else, everything the Vikings did a season ago. Okay, then they host the Lions. Then they go to Kansas City, one of the most difficult environments to play in football. They go to and play the Chargers. So they open as well, 3 of 4 out on the road. And then, by the way, they play Green Bay and the Rams. So, you know, 7 of their first 8 games are against some of the most legitimate competition they are going to face, that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to face. And I've said to you multitude of times, while I think he's excellent, while I think he's a very skilled player, you really don't know in the NFL until you get kicked in the teeth. and he's going to get kicked in the teeth, and he's going to lose some games, and he's not going to be perfect, and he's not going to be pretty, and oh my gosh, a beautiful face may have a scar or two on it, then we will really learn. We will know by December when the Seahawks do face them.
Question number three. We got the Husky spring game going on tomorrow. I was asking you yesterday about the offense versus the defense. I saw Adam Jude yesterday. I asked him the same question. He agreed with you. He also said, yeah, they just need the offense to kind of show up, to kind of prove to themselves that they can do it. But what will we end up talking about on Monday? What will be the narrative coming off the spring game?
Yeah, I think the narrative will be this is the best secondary in college football. I think that will be the narrative. Because you get into spring games, Mike, and you don't show everything, and it's not exotic this or exotic that. So it's going to be more than likely a bunch of man coverage outside. They want to continue to see in this cornerback competition who continues to grow to be the third and the fourth corner. And it is heated, and it is the most depth of anybody on this roster. And I think you're going to see those guys try to do all they can to lock them down. And I think they're going to find some level of success. So I think coming out of this spring game, these young freshmen, early enrollee quarterbacks are going to be looking out there. Some of them are going to want to prove that they belong and do their thing. Some are going to throw into some tight windows, and I would expect this secondary to be pretty daunting. And going into the season, it's, I think, one of the three best in all of college football.
Today's Coors Light's Blue 42. Did they move the spring game? Because it used to be the same weekend as the draft. I'm really glad it's not anymore. It's a much better way for them to get coverage.
I agree with that. I think it comes and goes. I don't know if
they
that was a
they
purposeful...
should make sure it's not at the same time as the draft. I think it's a great idea to do it the week before, so that it's part of the the draft tends to dwarf everything. It's
agreed.
It's such a gigantic part of the sports schedule.
And as you know, Coach Peterson, everything is very important to him with the amount of exposure and the media attention and all.
Nah,
the
but
hype
it's
and
it's good for the. I mean, it is good for the program and the fans and all that. Yes. So I would hope that's part of it. Thank you to everybody who texted in, not just to Red Hawks, but to point out that Jimmy always said he wanted to be a wide receiver, not a tight end. All right, my bad. Okay. I screwed it up. I don't have to like him anyway.
Don't worry about it.
Don't let the facts get in the way here, Brock.
You are more of an intuitive power source genius to plug in, to pull out. You know, maybe there was
that's better than memory.
You really had a hard time finding a fridge?
Well,
what happened?
You know, look.
What?
It was not in the place it was supposed to be.
Okay.
It took some time before we eventually discovered it.
Right.
Kyle and I alone walking around trying to find the refrigerator.
How much time was spent in a suite looking for a fridge? I mean, that couldn't have been more than 30 seconds.
No, it was probably a little longer than that, 3-4 minutes. We were struggling a little
bit. Intuitive genius.
Yeah, we got it all figured out. All right. That's all you need to know. Todd Lywicki is going to be here in just a moment. He's going to come in and sit, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with the Seattle hockey team, what he's going to do between now and the time they get underway in October of 2020. And we'll do that next. Looking forward to this. It's coming up. Don't go anywhere. It's Brock and Salk.